Welcome in. It's 11 personnel. We are live.
We made it.
We are here at the NFL draft. Thanks to our good pals at Monticello Bank. Monticello Bank will go wherever you go, whether it's to the NFL draft in Kansas City or maybe the Cats. Watch them play in Lexington, wherever you need to go. I'm going to Kentucky Derby next week. I'll bring Monticello Bank with me with the GoNBC app. 128 years of service. Making for the people. 21 locations. 21 branches in 14 different areas. They'll bank wherever you bank, where people matter. And we're guys where football matters. We're the football guys. Yeah. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. And I know you're fired up. First NFL draft is here. You made it. We haven't been here long, but can you feel the buzz? Is it palpable?
The jingle's just been playing in my head all week, really. So just really excited to kind of go out there and just experience the event. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been there before, and I know it's going to be a lot different. It's made for TV, so it's going to be different in regards. We've got the smoke screen season now, right?
CJ
Stroud keeps falling. Will Levis is rising. There's no way the Panthers don't take Bryce Young. There's potential trade juices flowing. Paris Johnson is now maybe a guy people are trying to trade us for an offensive tackle.
Like that.
So there's all kinds of stuff going on right now, and we'll actually get to see it all play out. Union Station, I believe, is here.
Yeah.
That's where it'll happen. And we're
in
the Mahomes' town.
Yeah, yeah.
People love Patrick Mahomes here. I don't know if you can believe that or not. He's been out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've not been here for a long. Just rode in and got in a couple hours. So we've not been to Union Station yet. We did drive past Arrowhead Stadium and Kauffman Stadium on the way in. We also rode into some sports radio in. What would the NFL court draft for my second pair of the Mahomes? Just the best quarterback in the league. Yeah. You know, no big deal. But we're excited. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants a little bit, trying something new, some fancy schmancy technology. Hopefully it will work.
But before we get into more nitty gritty of the draft, is it, we're good?
We're good.
Oh, okay, good. You gave me a look there, Stephen. I was worried. We're a college football podcast, first and foremost. And what everybody's talking about is Coach Prime. He's cutting players like it. He's out to get him. There's part of me that, like, this is a – Deion is very much a hot take generator, but I just don't have a super-duper hot take on him. Like, he very much said when he came in that this is what was going to happen, and now we're seeing it play out right before our eyes.
Deion's a lot like the NFL. He's going to stay in the news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Colorado is going to be a story, and they're going to be a lightning rod in a lot of different ways. But you're right. Like, transparency. He's transparent. What he's saying was going to happen is happening.
Yep.
So, and the rules allow this to happen.
It's true.
So he is just taking advantage of this rule where they've gotten rid of where you can only bring certain amount of players in each offseason. It's a free-for-all for better or worse, and he's taking advantage of that. Now, what he's doing is he's sacrificing potential depth. Like, they could go into a year where they could have legitimately 64, 65 scholarship players, and they could be in a bind. But we've seen recently teams like Tennessee, Josh Heupel's first year had scholarship numbers. That was a worry. It didn't really have too much of an effect on them. So you could potentially get away with it, but it is jarring, I think, for me, just to see how it's playing out.
Well, because it's 2/3 of their team, a bare minimum, that have gone into the portal. You're seeing them add more players. I think they've added almost 30 from the portal. They got two more former Florida State guys today. But it's funny because people scoff at Coach Prime, but I think if you were at Louisville, if you were at U of L last year, they probably wanted Kenny Payne to get rid of 2/3 of the roster and bring in new guys and have them swap. Like, that was kind of part of what they wanted, you know?
We've seen this in basketball.
Right.
Like when Calipari got here, even, in 2009, 2010.
He had 24 walk-ons kick off the team.
That was a total roster flip. I mean, that was one of the more crazier roster flips we've seen. But Colorado right now, for On3's database, has 31 transfers they've added. They're in on a few more.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to push 40 transfer additions this offseason. It is just really, it's crazy to sacrifice that depth when you're about to play a schedule that has 11 Power 5 opponents on there. It's just something we've never seen before. But you got to give. I think Deion, you have to.
Yep.
He's doing what he said he would do. Yeah. I mean, that's why
he
they
bought
hired,
his Louis bag.
That's why they hired him, and yeah. We'll see if it all works out. But yeah, it's just been. I mean, it's all anybody can talk about really right now. I mean, it's the draft and Deion Sanders at Colorado and this crazy kind of roster turnover. It's crazy that it's happening now. I mean, I get it after the spring game, but it's almost like they just use those guys just so they can have a spring practice.
He told people to use this as your audition tape, and right. Some of them did. Yeah. Some of them probably going to do.
Well, yeah. To me, he used it because you can't get rid of all those guys in the fall because
it's too late.
You can't have spring practice. You won't have enough people to have a spring practice.
That's true because you can't even bring in your high school recruits either. Yeah.
And some of these, like Kavassier Smoke wasn't there in the spring. He's showing up in the summer. So they had a lot of transfers like that. So if you got rid of all these guys, you couldn't have practice. That's almost what they used them, just almost like glorified practice players here now. And then, you know,
crazy.
It's like what the NFL does during, you know, camp, where they have guys that are there, they're just there for practice, and then they're getting them out of there after that. So it's just something we've never seen before, and it's really, to me, it's just jarring seeing it kind of play out.
Like, right.
Like, wow, this man's really about to just bring in 55 new players, and he's going to have a 65-man roster and maybe have 7 guys left over.
And that culture in the locker room, I'm sure it will be great with all these newcomers and all these big personalities.
And the thing with Deion is he's got a document. Like, they're going to have some Netflix documentary.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, his son has a YouTube channel. He owns, like, a YouTube, like,
production
media
company.
Network.
Yeah.
They're going to have something else on YouTube. So it's, I mean, it's a spectacle in every sense of the word. And we're seeing that play out. And you know, they're going to have people watching their, like when they play TCU, 3-4 million people are probably going to watch that game. I mean, they're going to be the team, one of the teams to watch. And that's Coach Prime effect.
The other story that we're kind of monitoring, apparently Alabama doesn't have a quarterback, and now they're willing to go get Notre Dame's old quarterback, old Buckner. Is it Nate Buckner? Nick Buckner?
Tyler Buckner.
Tyler Buckner, who was all right for Notre Dame last year. I don't know if you would categorize him as great, good, and different or the other, but he's officially visiting in Tuscaloosa. That was broke by On3's Pete Nakos and Matt Zenitz, and I was shocked by it because Jalen Milroe, he filled in nicely for 2 games last year for Bryce Young, and then Ty Simpson was another highly touted guy. Both of those were your potential guys that if one lost the job could enter the portal. Tommy Reese, offensive coordinator from Notre Dame, comes down, and now he's potentially bringing in this guy, and we're having people write stories about like what Buckner could do for Alabama or any other team he goes to. So that's a fascinating transfer portal quarterback to follow, because I don't think anybody was – like, he did fine, but Notre Dame, they blew that bowl game, right? Because Buckner couldn't – he was just – he's a fine quarterback.
3 interceptions against South Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, I think 2 were pick sixes maybe.
Yeah, I mean
– yeah, here's the thing here. The vibes aren't great around Alabama. Like, we're going to dive into, like, what happened in spring ball around – that it affects Kentucky teams on Kentucky's schedule. One of those teams is Alabama this year.
Yep.
The vibes just aren't great around Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson right now.
Yeah.
Tyler Buckner's another former top 100 recruit. They're going to throw him into the mix. He's got the connection with Tommy Reese, who was his offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. But you're right, Nick. They went out and got Sam Hartman because he's better than Tyler Buckner.
Yeah.
And so now that Alabama's maybe bringing him on to be their starting quarterback this year, it's just interesting. Like, is it, you know, you,
is it, we've it, all, do we want Bama? Do we want Bama?
We've all talked about how you will see the chinks in the armor with Saban before the end comes. Like, you will see it coming. It makes you think, is it coming? But do you want to be the dumbass that gets out there and says it's over and then watch him just kick everybody's ass again?
Yeah.
That is really the
Well, we did that forever with Belichick and Brady,
yeah.
But he's got the number one overall quarterback in the NFL draft. Will Anderson, is he, you know, there's scuttlebutt. Will he be the Cardinals' choice at number 3? Will he be number 2? But you could have Alabama players go 1-2
right.
in the draft, and they weren't even in the playoff this year. So, like, if you're talking about chinks in the armor, well, proof positive right there.
Right. And Will Anderson's a guy who's surprisingly fallen. Like, he could fall to, like, 4, 5, 6.
Which, if you
which is crazy.
So, like, we're going to get into it. I do want to remind folks, we're going to be getting your questions on the YouTube channel. If you aren't subscribed to KSR on YouTube, we got tons of fun stuff coming, like, the next 2 weeks. So much between the NFL draft, the Kentucky Derby. It's crossing both worlds, but it's like the perfect Venn diagram for Nick Roush right here. It's just a, this is a big circle of my kind of content. We're going to have plenty of it coming out. Get in the YouTube chat. We'll answer some questions here in a moment. But it's fascinating to me because when you listen to all that we've listened to, like we're taking in podcasts, videos, just you name it, there's a NFL draft community, and then there's this college football community. And that Venn diagram needs to somewhere how intersect. And there's so much separation sometimes, and I don't understand it with Will Anderson. Because I get where maybe if it's a scheme fit and you run a 3-4 and or you run a 4-3, excuse me, and Tyree Wilson just fits that a little bit better.
I think that's what's going to play out.
Like that would maybe make sense. But Will Anderson, from a production standpoint, the dude had, what, 100 tackles for loss 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Josh Pascal was second in the SEC in tackles for loss. He had 15, and Will Anderson doubled it. Like, it was astounding. He has the record, single season record. It's not even close. So, like, at some point, like, that's where, and I know we're kind of splitting hairs over a spot or two, but it is, if you would have told me a year ago that Will Anderson would be sliding, I would have slapped you in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 31 tackles for loss, 17 and a half sacks as a true sophomore, 2021. He should have won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, he had a Heisman Trophy season as an edge player.
And then 17 tackles for loss, 10 sacks last year. The thing with me, like, as a true freshman on the national championship team, he came in right away and was one of their better defensive players. So he's done it for 3 years now at – a place where it's, you know, it's hard to get on the field, and that position is not an easy position to play. Physically, it's taxing.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of high school, there's technique you need to be able to have to beat bigger, stronger offensive linemen, to be able to hold edges, to be able to play in space a little bit. It's not.
And on top of that, there's scheme stuff that, like, Brad White talks about it a lot. Like, from a you have a lot of responsibilities because you're in between the trenches and playing in space.
Yeah. It's just not an easy position to play. He's been able to do it at a high level. Everything that you hear about him, high character, high motor, just gets after it on a daily basis. But I think what's playing out here a little bit is the Texans are going to run the 49ers defense, which was a four-down front, which they want a lot of size, a lot of length. And if they don't take a quarterback at two, then – the pick's probably going to be Tyree Wilson, who's got length and traits out the wazoo. And so if that happens, then you get in the quarterback situation, right? If the Cardinals trade back, someone trades up at three, maybe someone trades up at four, and then you're looking at a situation, maybe someone like Paris Johnson potentially or Jalen Carter before Will Anderson, then you could see a scenario where he drops six or seven, and we're all just sitting there like, how is the, you know, my big board, I think he's the number one prospect in this class. And so how do you let the number one player in the draft fall? But I think because of these little things adding up, I think you could definitely see it happen.
And I think to Luckett's point, what you're going to hear when you watch the broadcast tomorrow night is that the draft starts at number two.
Yes.
Which, that happens a lot, but the Houston Texans are a wild card. Not only the new coach factor, and D'Amico Ryans, who dealt with a high-drafted quarterback in Trey Lance that didn't pan out, right? The 49ers gave up a lot to go get him, and they haven't really seen anything from it. But then you've got a GM in Nick Caserio that, I mean, he picked Stingley over Sauce Gardner last year, the defensive rookie of the year, you know? So it didn't really, like...
He picked an offensive guard at number 15.
Yeah, which you can pick an offensive guard whenever. So they're a wild card, and that's where you're getting a lot of uncertainty in, like, the betting markets, right? Yeah. Where there was some potential smoke that a team might trade up to get Will Levis there, right? Like, that they might think that they can move back. So that's why you mentioned it off the top, like, it's going to be fun being in there because we're not going to know what the hell's going on. Y'all are going to be on TV. You're going to be more plugged in than us. We're going to try to get service on our phones, but we're just going to be sitting back with all the crazy fans. I had videos of the last draft I was at when the Raiders picked Cleveland Farrell, and nobody knew who that guy was. That's just the reality we're going to be living in. It's going to be fascinating to watch play out in real time.
Yeah, and you mentioned the draft started. It starts at number two because Bryce Young is going to Carolina.
Yeah.
I think Carolina, I think they did this right. We could all be wrong, but Bryce Young just seems like the guy in this class. If you need a quarterback, that's who you should take first.
Yeah.
So that's why it starts at number two, and Houston's a wild card, like you mentioned. And then after that, Arizona owns the number three pick, Nick. They don't need a quarterback. And so they are pretty much begging teams, like, we're open for business, come get this pick. And so who trades up? And to me, who is the team we're not talking about that ends up with a quarterback? Is it the Seahawks at 5 if C.J. Stroud falls to them? Is it the Falcons have been really quiet? Do they maybe trade up and try to get their guy at
quarterback? That one would make a lot of sense. No offense to your Tiger Tech alum, Desmond Ridder, but I just don't. I don't see it with that guy.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of skill talent there. With they drafted Drake London last year. They got Kyle Pitts. So, like, just get good somebody to give them the ball. Yeah.
And so you look at them with the Patriots, you know, what do they want to do? They want a quarterback. The Minnesota Vikings have been talked about as a potential partner with Levis. That's a big trade up for in the 20s. The Tennessee Titans are out there. I mean, Titans are a mess. Like, they need to, you know, where are they? They're in the absolute no man's land you could ever be in right now as a franchise. So where do they go? Like, who is the team we're maybe not thinking about that makes the move to go get a Levis, a Stroud, and Anthony Richardson? And that's really going to be the fascinating part. And to me, like, one of these guys is dropping.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's going to happen. You hear people, you know, I've talked about this. I just don't – the Richardson stuff, I just don't get a lot. You know, I know you – his highlights are terrifying. You can pick out any – you know, he's got a – if this was about picking out 8 plays – he's up there with anybody in this draft. But when you turn on the tape, he's limited sample size as a starter, and it's just not good.
You worry about the one-year starters, the Mark Sanchez's of the world.
Why didn't he start for Dan Mullen? I don't know why no one's asking. I don't know why I feel like I'm
Was Emory Jones that much better than Anthony Richardson?
I feel like I'm the only one asking this. Like, why isn't that happening? Why did that happen? And you hear Tom McShay talk about where he just – him and Chris Mortensen have said they can't find the teams that are high on –
there's not a lot of teams that are linked directly. So
what? Like, I could see a fall for him.
Yeah.
And then I could see a scenario where maybe a team like Hendon Hooker a little more if you get into the late teens, early 20s.
Because it's easy for idiots like us to watch his combine and just be like, oh, we got to put it. He's better than Will Levis. And, you know, you have those reactionary takes from
– again, you see the highlights. Like, if you see some of his clips, and it's why in 2021, Nick, like, he became – like, he was college football in September in 2021. Mm-hmm. It was all about – Mullen needs to play Richard. Look at this guy.
It's another Big 15 wearing that Florida jersey.
This is the next Cam. It's like Cam Newton, Tim Tebow hybrid put together.
But then he went one. He's wearing six games.
He's wearing the number 15 jersey at Florida, and it just never happened. It was never together. Then when he got a chance to start, he's doing backflips in the hotel and gets hurt before the South Carolina game. There's just I don't get it. I think, and I could be could definitely be the guy that drops. But I think with Levis, the thing with Levis, just he's got the higher floor. And he's a guy that the NFL teams just love, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's smart, intellectually smart, hard worker, tough, play through injury, rocket arm.
Yeah.
And
played multiple teams, multiple offenses.
Has some run game value, protocol, typical size, strength, all that. I just think he's going to be a guy. We're probably going to see him go top 5, top 6, top 7, and he's going to get a chance to be a starter early in his career.
Wicked, I got to ask you the Serve Pro question.
Let's do it.
We're going to clean up a mess, so we're going to call our friends at Serve Pro of Lexington. Mold remediation, fire, water damage, whatever problems you got, they'll clean it up. We had problems. We called Serve Pro of Lexington. They were there in a jiffy. They're open 24 hours a day. You can give them a call. As a kid, we had a basement leak overnight. I woke up and there's water coming through the light bulb sockets. It would have been great to have Serve Pro of Lexington around for that. Like I said, 24-hour emergency service. They cleaned up KS office. They can clean up your office, your home. They even do construction work. So give them a call, 859-225-3193, or visit them online at servepro.lexingtonky.com, Serve Pro of Lexington. Faster to any disaster, Serve Pro. My Serve Pro question for you. Worst case scenario for Will Levis. We're going to do best case. I like to get the bad news out first. But worst case scenario for Will Levis in the green room Thursday night in Kansas City.
I draw a line in the sand at Tennessee Titans at 11. If he falls there, I don't think they're passing on him. As long as they don't trade up to go get Stroud.
Okay.
I think that is the worst case scenario is Drew Franklin buying a Will Levis Tennessee Titans jersey.
All right. Counterpoint. Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a great place to live, a horrible place to play quarterback. Ask anybody who's been head coached by Josh McDaniels. For Will, a lot of his success is going to be dependent on fit. And, man, I'm I feel like that's a sinking ship out there with Josh McDaniels. Like, they can't afford to fire him. Like, I just very much worry about the fit in Las Vegas. It would be a lot of fun to live in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to Nashville or any of the other places. But I cannot see that going well. And then you get the Jimmy G. It just, it just stinks.
Here's my thought process with the Raiders. Josh, when's the last time McDaniels had to develop a quarterback? I mean, he's had Brady. You know, Denver didn't go well. So they go out and they had Derek Carr last year. Go out and sign Jimmy G, multi-year deal. Got Devontae Adams on a big deal.
I mean, that's the one positive is you have Devontae Adams.
You have a roster full of defensive holes that needs to be filled. To me, I think for the Raiders, it's like, all right, we've committed to McDaniels. We got him as quarterback. Now we need to build the rest of the roster and try to put up together a winning team and try to win with this group. I think that's what happened when they signed Jimmy G. They committed to that. And I think for them, I think a lot of it was they wanted to try to get Bryce Young. They were probably in the mix of teams that traded up. Panthers won that battle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for them, sign Jimmy G, you're moving on to what's next. I think what's next for them is finding defensive help. I don't think they're going to be in the quarterback market. I think they're going to hold steady at 7, and then I think they're going to take whoever is the top defensive player on their board right there. I don't think they'll be a factor here in the quarterback. I think it would be kind of irresponsible for them because of how they've spent money, but that has been a financially irresponsible
Raiders. It's all right. The Raiders. I don't trust them. Don't want Will Levis to end up there. If we're talking best-case scenarios, I obviously have some financial incentives for Monday's Reddit rush to bet number one overall. For that upset shocker to happen, it would be outstanding for the program. But let's take that off the board because that's, like we said, Bryce Young's going to go number one. Best case scenario for you, Adam Luckett, where does Will Levis end up? In a place to succeed, preferably a high pick.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing, the fun part about this game is we don't have to just look at the board. There's a ton of teams that can move up.
Yeah. To me, it's the two fits that stand out the most for me. One is picking high in the draft. One is picking low. Number one, I think I like the Vikings fit for him. There's just a lot of things adding up there. Familiar scheme. Coach who they had share working relationships. Cohen with Levis, Cohen with Kevin O'Connell, Cohen with the OC in Minnesota. And also Kentucky's old quality control coach, Greg Minuski, is the linebackers coach in Minnesota.
People forget that.
So that there's a lot of ties there, I think, for him in Minnesota. You look at Minnesota, they are in a winnable division in the foreseeable future. Now that Aaron Rodgers is out of there, there's no real star quarterbacks in that division.
Oh, don't tell that to Bears fans.
So that's an opportunity. The wide receiver one is locked in. They have a legit tier A wide receiver target that you can build an offense around and you can run through it. They've got a good offensive line as of right now. And they're a team like that's ready to win. I think that would be a good spot for Levis. And you look at scheme, like doing that McVay wide zone play action, moving the launch point offense, that would be something for him. And he could sit behind Kirk Cousins for a year and kind of get acclimated to the NFL. And the second one, I think, is Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they need a quarterback. We've heard they've liked Levis for a long time. You look at Shane Steichen, their new head coach, you could have the quarterback offensive play calling head coach relationship that's worked well at a lot of other places in the NFL. Steichen did good things with Herbert in San Diego or Los Angeles his rookie year. And then what he did in Philly I thought was really, really good. You would like it. You would like that there. That's a tougher division with Trevor Lawrence there. But Houston's rebuilding. Tennessee's
rebuilding. AFC South.
Houston's rebuilding. Tennessee's rebuilding. You hit on Levis. Colts could be in good shape if they could get that line.
Could be for a wild card pretty quickly.
That line, the receiver targets there are not promising. But you got Jonathan Taylor, and you could have a strong run game, play action. I think that could be a good spot for Levis. So those are the two spots I'm watching, Tennessee and Minnesota.
I initially predicted Indianapolis last week, but
or Indianapolis, Minnesota.
When we started getting rumblings of potentially Minnesota moving up, I love the thought of watching Will Levis just throw it up to Justin Jefferson. When in doubt, get it to Justin Jefferson. And we've seen Levis succeed with Wandale Robinson. Like, you got a dude, get him the football, he'll do it. No problem. He did it, 104 times with one now?
Yeah.
Broke a ton of records. He could do the same with Justin Jefferson. He'd look good in purple. I would like to own a purple jersey in my NFL jersey collection, so I'm all for it, for them moving up. It would be a big move. I don't know what they'd have to give up. There's a lot of Green Bay Packers fans in the state of Kentucky, and I'd like for Will Levis to torment you. I'm looking at you, T.J. Walker. I'm looking at you, Terry Miners. Just wreck your relationships. Za'Darius Smith and Will Levis on the same team. The Purple People Eaters are back. And to get winning back to a losing franchise, for Kirk Cousins to set the table, you have a guy who just throws checkdowns over and over again, and then you finally get a dude with a big arm who can let it rip to Justin Jefferson deep, who doesn't throw it 4 yards on 4th and 8 in the playoff game. Like, this is your guy. This is your golden goose to get to the Super Bowl. I would love it, because it feels like the table is set. It's the ideal scenario for Levis to come in and succeed right away.
You looked at that Levis Robinson connection, 146 targets for Wandell that year on 353 Levis passes. I mean, literally, nearly over 40% of his passes were going to number one. So, yeah, he's been in a target heavy or a target monster offense with one clear dynamite receiver to force feed the football to. So, and I think Levis, the question is a lot with him. Progression, full field reads, going through, you know, reacting what the defense gives you. It might be easier if you just go like that.
Yeah, just throw it up to that guy.
Yeah, number 18, I think that's Jefferson's number, just throw it up to 18. And so that, I think that could maybe be an easier transition for him. Yeah. So, yeah, Minnesota, I think, is a really interesting, good potential fit.
Well, the Cardinals are desperate to trade out of 3, but does Minnesota have enough?
They do just click a lot. I mean, that's a lot of draft capital they're going to have to give up. But the thing with Minnesota, they're consistently in salary cap hell. So, like, they're probably okay with giving up some draft capital, because then it means less guys they have to, you know, pay.
Yeah.
But
it's fun, and it's a lot of what if scenarios right now. We're almost there. We're just 24 hours away, actually. Just over 24 hours away from Roger Goodell getting up to the podium and getting booed by just thousands. And I'm like, it's a rain of boos unlike anything, because you usually go to a stadium and there's some people that aren't booing.
Yeah.
Everybody boos Roger Goodell. It's great. It's so much fun.
He embraces it too.
I can't wait. Further down the draft, we've been so transfixed on Will Levis. You got a round one steal for us? Who's one of those guys that you're just, man, if this guy sneaks up into there, he could end up being a star as a rookie. Any rookie right away?
Yeah, like Jaxon Smith-Njigba is intriguing. You know, he's kind of emerged as the wide receiver one in this draft, I think rightfully, because he was the best. He just didn't play last year.
Yeah, similar to Ja'Marr Chase.
Now, it's sounding like he won't get past the Packers, who now have the 13th pick.
Which, oh my gosh, if they trade Rodgers and then get a receiver in the first round.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That'd I think, you know, Emmanuel Forbes, Nick, is a guy that, you know, there's some questions because he's 160 pounds. I mean, he's a little cornerback. But now we're seeing so many little receivers, it might not matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that I could definitely see being, like, pushing maybe top 15 pick. I think if he's there for the Bengals at 28, I think it's going to be very, very hard for them to pass on him.
Which, we got to ask, who they going to get? Is Michael Mayer going to be around? Are we going to keep him? Are we bringing the Cuff guy back
I think
home?
That's definitely on the table. I think what's going to end up happening, it'll be – if I had to bet, I think it's going to be one of Forbes or Dalton Kincaid, the tight end in Utah.
Will Kincaid slide that far?
I think so. I think because of the tight end depth here, you're going to see you're going to see a run on quarterbacks early. You're going to see a run on tackles. You're going to see a run on pass rushers. That's going to play it in. A lot of franchises think they're going to be able to get a tight end in the second or third round, so mm-hmm. they're going to be patient on these tight ends, and I think you could potentially see them. I think the Cowboys are a big one. I think they have 2 picks ahead of the Bengals. They could be in the market for a tight end. The Jaguars could be in the market for a tight end, and they're all ahead of the Bengals, so those are 2 to watch, I think.
Yeah, but why do the Cowboys need a tight end when they can just get Jason Witten out of retirement?
That's true.
I love some of our friends in the chat here that are just – absolutely hating on the Colts organization. Really not fans of Chris Ballard and everything he's done. Rookie head coach would be an absolute disaster. But the Colts, as Adam said, the Colts have a history developing young quarterbacks. That would be exceptional. If Levis gets drafted by the Colts, we just can't be friends anymore. But it would keep him in the blue and white. It'd be an easy trip. As much as we've been up to Indy for the combine, never actually been inside Lucas Oil Stadium.
Never been inside?
Yeah, never been inside because was working games but not at the games for the NCAA tournament too. So would give me an excuse to make a trip on Sunday.
There you
go. Usually that's when you rest. Maybe take the boys up there. I like horses too. So there we go. Colts.
You can go show them the 18-foot Peyton Manning statue.
Any chance Jane Carter falls all the way to the Bears?
I'm glad you picked that one. I definitely think that's on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, and then if that happened, Ryan Poles' GM will be the big winner of this draft. Like, he got one of their biggest needs addressed at 9, and he got multiple picks and DJ Moore back. I think that is definitely on the table. I think the Seahawks kind of smell like the team potential for Jalen Carter. They're 5. Unless Stroud's there, they want to pull the trigger on him.
Feels like a culture kind of fit too, just getting a dude in the interior of the defensive line for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Well, it's also a Bears pick. Let's get a 3 technique here in the top 10.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. I didn't mention my steal earlier too. I'm just buying all the Jack Campbell stocks. I'm actually just I know it's probably because we've had covered them 2 years in a row at bowl games, but the Iowa guys, like Sam Laporta, is probably going to be good in the second or third round. So if your team needs a tight end and is farther down, he's going to be a quality pro. Same can be said for the guy that Wandale Robinson. His ankles are checked. Medical checked him out. His ankles are good to go. But Riley Moss was a stud. But Jack Campbell's going to get 100 tackles every year in the NFL. He stays healthy. I couldn't believe his RAS score.
Yeah.
It's through the roof, just his athleticism. Yes, I'm judging white middle linebacker for not being a good athlete. He really is an absolute freak. Absolute freak.
I mean, we're going to see. You're going to see Laporta go off second round. You're going to see Campbell go second round. Riley Moss third or fourth. Lucas Van Ness probably top 15 pick. They had good football players.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, one of the biggest things, Nick, is after quarterback is where Bijan Robinson ends up. I had him as a top 5 player in this draft. Everybody, I think, has him top 5, top 10.
But it's a running back.
It's a running back. So who's going to spend the draft capital on him? And he's a fascinating one to watch. You know, if he gets to Dallas at, I think, 26, Jerry Jones is going to sprint to get that car turned in.
Well, didn't Pollard get – did he go somewhere? He got signed by somebody, didn't he?
Bring up that conversation. Somebody on Facebook asked about Chris Rodriguez. You know, could he call up? And be quite honest with the members of our case board, it's just not what's the word I'm looking for?
Running back just not on the table.
Just not on the table. I'm not saying more about not getting drafted. I think he's probably going to, but that's always possible. Their variance, like I think, between him and Carrington Valentine could both be 5th through 7th round.
Yeah, I think that's one. 5 through 7.
5 through 7. So kind of later on Saturday. But it's kind of pressure, right, to figure out where they're going to go. And if there was going to be a 4th or a Wildcat that gets picked, who do you think is most likely going to be there?
Yeah, just real quick on Chris Motor running class. I think he's top 50-ish back in this class, but it's just a loaded class. You can see kind of an early run, I think third. Dried up, you probably start seeing a bigger run in the 4th, depending on how big that run is. Then you can see Chris gives just sneaking to the 5th round. I think also the problem is if you're a wide open, how do
you guys? I'm gonna switch this out to the rear. They can still hear you.
Okay,
we're still going. Like, it's going to be, there's some team that I think he's going to be on the fourth. He's going to be like a North South running game where they're not passing, do a lot of passing, but like the Bengals could be our interesting team for Chris. Because they want to run a control, go where they got a big North South offensive line. If they don't want to address from after the fourth round, they're going to be late, you know, late in the 5th or the 6th. he's there. He's happy for carrying him out with him. You know, he's really got sophomore year was not very good. He's got 1 4-year tape, but he played in this team that wasn't necessarily the best. If you draft Valentine, you're drafting him for his man cover potential. Now, the reason he's not the Canadians is pretty, or like, it's a really great shot to get drafted is because, like, the 6th, 7th round, Nick, you really need to. You're drafted on a play of traits, you're drafted on potential. Let's take a flyer on the guy and see if he can turn into something. I think Carrington's going to be interesting for teams in that group, which I think the last one you just alluded to, Nick, is kind of like Keegan Smith. I think he's another guy that would be a fit for certain teams, but that fit could be something someone wants to spin that they could pick on, but at the same time, I don't know, the team might rather wait and get him in 3 days because they're going to spend a draft, they want to spend it on the guy with upside.
Mm-hmm.
Usually upside, that when they're looking at those reds, who's on out of that, you can turn into something who's maybe a little bit younger. So for Peter Smith, I guess maybe he could come into the 7th round. But the reason I would probably not have him there is because just he's not.
He's not 40 odd, he's an older guy.
He's a little older. You know, he didn't really play, bounce the corner, lost his starting job, safety, go back to the corner. But there is a lot of talk about him in the third little thing.
Yeah.
That's going to be valid. I have Matthew, but he's going to be a guy. If he's the UDFA, he's going to have a lot of teams on the floor. He's going to be able to lock in one of the sweeter creative deals. So sometimes you get, I don't know how that works, but get, whether it's money or they can guarantee that they'll
sign him. That'll
be, for him, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to have some, like I say, I'm going to have some negotiations for him.
Well, you're going to get a lock in a good rate for you, and that's by itself.
Right.
They'll make better work on your side because they're a local. Some of these big chains, they're all about the bottom line, right? Honestly, they'll work with you. Just like they're working with us here at the NFL Draft, we're going to be having a ton here. Tomorrow, we're going to check out the Hall of Joe Burrow, or Patrick Holmes. We're also going to put you all in. Speak to fans as the draft is happening. We'll have private reaction. We'll have to be selected. So that'd be a lot of fun.
First thing is barbecue.
It's all barbecue. Yeah.
Our first spot.
We are going to do. A lot of barbecue.
Do you have a preference of your like on the totem poles of various barbecue?
Are you talking
types of food?
Are you talking like Texas versus Carolina?
No, I'm talking like cuts of meat.
Yeah, I mean, brisket's up there for me. Obviously, them ribs, I would say. Those were the top.
See, my thing is, like, I feel like ribs is very much a treat yourself. Like,
yes.
It's a very special occasion.
It's not something you're getting all the time.
Right, right. Because if you get, first off, you're never getting a half rack of ribs. It's a full rack. That was very much that was the Roush birthday celebration. Just going to the TXRH and getting a full rack of ribs. That was fine dining.
And making a mess.
Oh, yeah. A huge mess. Which I also informed one of Oklahoma's finest here, the origin story of how Oklahoma got its name today. And boy, did I feel intelligent. I was enlightening folks. But you know, we'll save that for another time. That's a secret for another day. Like it.
It was very much a dad story. Like, you don't know what it got its name, son.
Oh, man. But I'm excited to go exploring around these parts here. We never even talked about Cortland Ford, did we?
No, we got a few people in the chat. I was going to bring that up. Have we even – I don't know if we've even discussed that.
Because it happened over the weekend. I guess he entered the portal. We talked about him once he entered the portal. And it was one of those, like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Like, UK's got
– the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, yeah. So we at least knew that. But I was thinking about this earlier today, they're kind of at a point now where you're playing a little bit of a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only we had Tomiwa Dirichow enter the portal today, and so you have two now availabilities, two.
They have three open scholarships now. I believe they're down to 82 scholarships.
But you're wanting best available, but you also don't want to take off too many people where they go into the portal as well. But at least in Ford's case, I like the versatility that there was a point where I thought if Marcus Cox gets hurt, like you're screwed. You're right back to square one. But at least Ford's ability to play left, like, if all hell breaks loose, Cox does get hurt, you need to play Ford at left. You've got two other guys in Flax and Buford who played it right. There's something there. You've got some decent depth at guard. Like, so not only do I feel like he's a guy who can be an above average pass protector at right tackle, if things go wrong at left, you've got a guy there ready and waiting.
Yeah, I think you've hit a lot of that is the multi-positional potential.
Mm-hmm.
And then the multi-years eligibility is big here. You know?
Yeah.
It's no secret that recruiting tackles has been an issue out of high school.
Yep.
And so he gives you multi-year insurance potentially. I think the thing with Courtland Ford, I look at this year's, just the structure of this year's roster, it's all about, I mean, we've talked about this, all about protecting Devin Leary, keeping him upright.
Yep.
I think Ford has some pass pro tools that are intriguing. And so if you can develop those a little bit, he can, I think, be a nice answer at tackle along with Marcus Cox to give you some good pass protection. I think in the run game, I have maybe some more doubts. I'm going to have to see it a little bit more with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like with this whole offensive line.
Yeah, every person on there has some questions.
And so, you know, I think it's more – to me, it's more sign like Kentucky's going to be a little pass heavy this year. Just get ready for it. And but I think – he raises the floor of just the group in general. And I think he raises the floor and the ceiling because he's established, experienced player who I think is going to stylistically fit what they want to do as being, to me, as kind of a pass pro first offensive tackle at this point. And I do love the positional flexibility. If something happens to Marcus Cox, he can play left tackle. So you have, you know, built-in answers in case something bad happens. And I think that's good for this team. And I think now, like, you can say it's bad depth, but they do have some depth. Like, Jeremy Flax, Deion Buford have played games.
Yeah, you feel you're worried about them as starters, but if you use them in a pinch for a game or two, you don't feel so bad about it.
If something happened to one of the starting three interior, you could feel good about sliding maybe Eli Cox to center if you had to and playing Tanner Bowles either at left guard or right guard. So I think they have built-in options, and I think, you know, we've talked about the rotation. I think we could maybe see some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially this year, down the road. I think now it's all about getting your five together,
right, and getting them
working in unison. But I do think, to me, for Kentucky, they targeted him early, and they went after him with aggression, and they wrapped it up quickly. And it was just like, everybody breathe. All right, we got our two tackles in the portal. Yeah. Everybody knew we had to get
those.
We got them. This is who we're rolling with, and we're fixing our biggest problem now.
And if you think big picture-wise, as the season ended, you said you need to get a quarterback in the portal. They got the best one out there. You need to get new offensive tackles. They got a dude from USC with a dozen starts in 3 years playing as a true freshman, and then they went and got a guy who's played, what, 40 games as a starter in the MAC? Ton of experience?
Yeah, 30-something
starts. Yeah, like, pretty good. Right? They went and got a 1,000-yard rusher from the SEC, you know? So, like, all in all, when you evaluate the transfer portal hall as a whole, it's hard to have a ton of criticisms for them. Could they use another off-ball linebacker? Sure. Will they be able to find one? It might not be there. Could they use a kicker, right? Like, it might not be there, and so you just kind of got to roll the dice.
The 22 starters are set.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like they're really in the market for CB2, and that's the only position to me that's up for grabs. Like,
quarterback two. Yeah.
Everything else is set, locked in, ready to roll. Like, they know who their starting lineup is. Everything else is all about depth.
Yep.
You know, do we really want to enter where we are at with the linebacker three situation?
Yep.
You know, and they fixed, they've gotten the answers on the offensive line. Now let's roll. Now you got to play. Now you got to coach them up.
Yep.
Now you got to execute. But you went out and got the guys. You know, we know where they're at receiver, know where they're at tight end, we know where they're at quarterback. Could you get a backup quarterback? That would be nice. There's two names that entered yesterday. Logan Smothers from Nebraska. He's going to be a grad transfer, multi-years of eligibility left. And then Brady Allen was a four-star quarterback from Indiana. Went to Purdue for a year. Put up monster numbers his senior year in Indiana. On3 had him as a top 50 prospect. Like, to me, those are guys you got to look at because you don't have a starting spot now, but you do next year.
Yeah.
And they're not – having them on the roster ain't stopping you from going and getting a quarterback in the portal after the season's over. So I just think that's an option they should look at. I think they should look at, but, you know, you never know what those kids are kind of looking for.
Because we really don't know what Cohen thinks about quarterbacks on the roster. That's true. So if you're going to have to play that out a little bit, I don't think they're done in the portal. I think we're going to see a couple more additions. But if you're asking for targets, you're looking at
more back there, yeah. And we're just throwing them over our shoulder.
We can dig in and, you know.
Oh, he's digging
we
in.
We can look, right. But we don't know.
While you were reading Don Lemon tweets, what was the other guy? He's got the kind of
Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson, yeah. While you were reading those tweets, he was diving in the transfer portal targets.
So yeah, I mean, what else? I mean, good. For Christ's sake, what else? But I think that, like, there's options out there that are starting to emerge a little bit. I don't think that they're done. Because why not? I mean, they have room. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a tech like the George Robinson years ago. Maybe they just take a swing on it.
Yeah. Well, we need to take a trip to the old barbecue place and fill up our bellies. It was kind of a long ride. I mean, it's Missouri. But we've got plenty of NFL draft content coming. Luckett he's going to predict where all 32 players are picked tomorrow correctly. So if you want to know what's going to happen in the NFL draft beforehand, where are you going to find that, Luckett?
KSRplus.com. Join us now if you haven't already. $10 until August. I still believe that deal is.
Yeah, it's great. You should get on it now. What are you waiting for? Seriously.
And, well, not even just for that. You should join just for our live thread. Of our trip to KC.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get ridiculous.
Hoping Nick doesn't run into Ryan Walters again. I have an awkward situation there.
Well, we couldn't get
but
more
you would only know that. About that first situation if you were on here for a combine.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is why you got the ins and outs of these trips. This is the behind-the-scenes stuff. That's why you got to join. And stay tuned for all the cool stuff Steven's going to have. Yeah. For our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we're really excited. So appreciate y'all hanging out with us tonight. Appreciate Monticello Bank for helping us get here. And until tomorrow, go Cats and go Kroger.
Okay, so my